This is episode 138, and yet again, Tall Paul is not here, and we're pretty excited about it because we get to have the light bulb,
all right,
Larry Larson.
Yeah.
Very excited to
join.
I'm
very excited to be here.
I know, you seem more excited than me, actually.
This show's more exciting than Defrag.
Really?
Yeah, we just talk about, you know, problems, but you're talking about
the news.
We're
talking about solutions.
It's awesome.
Actually, what I want to talk about really quick before we even start the show is I want to talk about something that's been trending and hashtagged and Facebook virally, the Tupac hologram.
Love
at Coachella.
Tupac hologram.
So the people are going nuts over this and the technology behind it. But for me, did you not see that video of
R2-D2? Princess Leia.
No, I did see that. The Gorillaz. Yeah. The Gorillaz did this at their concert ages ago.
Scott Hanselman Facebooked some Japanese concert that happened a long time ago.
I'm happy they're talking about it because it's, you know, it's exciting that people are excited about technology, although they're probably more excited just to see Tupac.
Yeah,
risen.
I was.
But you said you had some insight into how it was done.
Well, Dan Fernandez posted on Facebook. It was a graphic that talked about how they did it. And they had a top-down projector which shot at a reflective surface on the floor, and then they had a transparent foil that was like at an angle. So apparently that's how they did it.
And I wonder,
I was more interested, like, who sang it? Was it clips of him? Was it
someone who sounds like him?
Was it CGI, or did they really have footage of him moving?
You know, I read an article saying that his movements were so like his, which makes me think it was somebody else acting like him, you know.
How
he do.
It's Tupac. Come on. East Coast,
so
West
not
Coast.
Based on actual video footage, but someone, you know, motion captured to be like him. And I also wonder if the people at the concert might have been elevated mentally to another level that they thought it was real.
I don't know.
I've heard rumors that people at these music festivals sometimes abuse synthetic chemicals.
Really? I saw Lenny Kravitz last show in the U.S., and that was one of the things that he mentioned. It's like, wow, this this is a very, very pugnant crowd.
I've been to Coachella. Have you ever been to Coachella?
I haven't been there, no.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
Yeah. Oh,
let's start the show. All right, Larry, exciting news. Gamers across the globe.
Yeah.
Are rejoicing because the launch date has been announced for Halo 4, November 6th.
I know when to book my vacation now.
How long do you think you'll have to take off to complete the game?
It'll probably happen in like 2 days.
Do you play legendary mode?
Of course.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's no fun playing as a
newbie.
Yeah. I'll see you online.
So obviously you're a big fan of the series of Halo.
Yeah.
And which is your personal thus far?
Well, probably two.
Probably
too. I played one on a PC too, so, you know, a little.
So now this is the first one that's not being developed by Bungie.
Yeah.
So where does that set your expectation level?
Well,
still just as excited?
I'm excited. I want to see what they can do. It's 343 Interactive that's going to be doing it. You know where the name comes from?
I don't.
343 Guilty Spark was one of the AI characters in Halo.
Look at you. Yeah. You really are a light bulb.
Yeah, but it's a little development studio over in Kirkland. So, yeah, it's going to be their first time doing a Halo game. It'll be interesting to see how they do it. So
do you expect to be one of those people standing in line at midnight? Or do you have, like, an in? Because you work at Microsoft, you can get those advanced copies.
I was going to ask you. Because you and Tina probably.
Yeah. I know people. I could probably.
So I'm hoping to be playing it, like, you know, a couple days early, right?
Right. Yeah, you get the reviews before. Well, I've already played it.
So I'm excited about it. The article that we were reading about this, it mentions that, you know, they're going to have a lot of competition. Call of Duty, next Call of Duty is going to be coming out, GTA 5.
Yeah.
I was like,
sequels.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
There's like no original games that are expected to be like blockbusters holiday
season.
It's
like that in theaters too, so it seems to be a trend.
What's up? There's a loss of creativity out there?
Well, you got something good, stick with it.
Right?
So
if it ain't
cool
broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. But it's going to be a busy month with a lot of good games, and bring them on. So I'm excited. I'll take all of them.
All right, Halo 4, November 6th. All right, Larry. So about a couple years ago, you would probably know better in terms of timeline than I do.
Yeah.
We announced the Microsoft Surface Table.
It was a few years ago, yeah.
You were pretty excited about this.
Really excited. So I just started Microsoft.
Right.
And I got a call to go over to some building to shoot some video.
Top secret.
Yeah, top secret stuff. And I got there, and they pulled out the surface, which I was completely unaware of at the time. I hadn't seen it.
You didn't know what you were going to see?
No,
just something cool.
I had no idea, and I went there, and it was Surface, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
So now we've got Surface V2. This one, you know, the old one, it was a big box. It was hard to kind of sit at it. You couldn't
super
get your legs
heavy. We had
it.
One here in the studio. I don't know
what
happened to
one.
It.
We do have one. It's still here somewhere. It's back by the Ark of the Covenant somewhere. The problem is, you know, the screen wasn't that bright because it was projected. It was 10.4 by 768, and it was kind of a big box. You couldn't sit at it like a table. All fixed with a new one. New one has 1080i, so it's 1920 by 1080. You can sit at it like a table.
Right.
It's a great screen. So it's a Samsung screen, biggest piece of Gorilla Glass going. So they got a huge, beautiful display. Takes more touch points than you can fit people around it, you know.
So the difference between this and like a Windows 8 touchscreen is basically that it can recognize certain objects, right? Because it's not just a touchscreen table.
Yeah, so the way it works is each pixel has four parts. So you have red, green, and blue, which you have in any screen.
Right.
This has a fourth one, which works like a camera. So you can detect things, and it can see shapes, and it can see, you know, if you have like a barcode sitting on it. So yeah, it's very cool.
This is announced and available and currently in Southeast Asia, V2. And do you see this coming to America? Because I remember I was excited too when the Surface announced. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to see them everywhere and in stores and in lobbies and then not so much.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people when they think Surface, they're thinking, oh, this is going to be in my house in my living room. But that's not really the best use case for it. These are things that are typically like kiosks. And if you ever go to Hard Rock Cafe, Hard Rock. Geniuses.
Which we just got here in, we got Planet Hollywood.
Yeah,
we don't have Hard Rock.
There's a Hard Rock over in Seattle, and if you go into just about any Hard Rock, especially Las Vegas or Seattle or Orlando, there is Microsoft technology everywhere. So you can see, like, they'll have Surfaces there, and they've got a big touch wall that you can play with and all kinds of cool stuff.
Really?
So you'll see it there for sure.
That, you know what, on a completely side story here, one of the things that I find is really amazing about Microsoft technology is how it is kind of everywhere, but you don't know it.
Yeah.
You know? Like casinos.
Yeah.
Who knew? Microsoft technology.
Yeah, usually,
eye in the sky.
People, you tend to see the picture of like a blue screen somewhere. And it's like, that's the only time you see, like, oh yeah, it really is Windows everywhere. But, you know, considering how many different places are using Windows of some sort.
Sure.
And how many blue screen pictures you see, it's a very low percentage.
Yeah, so we're everywhere.
That's nice.
All right, Larry, so there are rumors out there that Microsoft is full of just stuffy, boring, lame, computer nerds.
Bite
people,
your tongue.
Yes. And
no.
Clearly not true based on the present company.
No. Have you seen our videos?
I mean, we're cool.
Yeah.
And apparently we are not alone in coolness. There's a woman named Karen Chang, although she just has decided to leave Microsoft. But this woman is my new idol. So she left Microsoft to happily go to a startup in San Francisco. And instead of sending out those emails, you know, you get those emails. They're like, hey, guys, I'm moving on. And it's just like, keep in touch. Yeah. Totally use my email at live.com because you can't have a Microsoft address anymore. Anyway, she made a song.
Yeah.
She wrote a song.
To American Pie, Don McLean. Yeah.
Don McLean.
Awesome, awesome song.
Who doesn't love that song?
Songs.
Everybody loves that song. And she wrote an original piece and played a guitar. And let's play a clip of it right now.
Gotta listen to my heart, it knows. Time to shake up my status quo. I am hopping on a plane to San Francisco. The next time that I touch a spec will be at a startup called Exec. My PM days have expired. I've taken a job as a designer. My last day is the 24th. Please see me for anything you need before. And after that, don't disappear, please do.
So there you go. It almost makes me want to quit. Just so I can...
I'm tearing up a little bit. probably can't tell.
Just get you. Get you right here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is the epitome of creativity. And the video's gone completely viral.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So there you go. It sucks
Epic
that we had
resignation,
to...
not letter, but video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this inspires me to do more musicals here on Channel 9, although Dan says developers don't like musicals.
We'll see.
Will you be in my video?
No.
Okay. All right, Larry, so Paul and I have this sort of ongoing debate about whether or not there's value in Microsoft having retail stores. Do we need retail stores?
Absolutely.
What's your take?
Well, that's how you connect with the public. So that's where Microsoft and the customer come together.
Really?
So if you want to know your customer, that's a great place to be. Yeah, you got to have a footprint there.
I agree. I think the Microsoft stores are, first of all, really fun to go into.
Yeah.
You know, they're clean design, and there's always a crowd.
Yeah, and they tend to have some of the best machines. So when I'm looking for a new laptop or something, that's where I want to go and check out some of the, you know, hands-on with the different machines.
Well, there you go. And apparently we just opened a new store, and there was a line forming even a day before the store opened.
Nothing to do with Maroon 5.
All of these people couldn't wait to get their hands on a Windows phone.
Yeah.
No, it was actually because Maroon 5. They were giving out tickets to see Maroon 5, but I say any way you can get them into the store.
Yeah, so we tend to open up stores and have musical artists come and
Black Keys.
Christen them.
Yeah, Black Keys.
We had one here just recently with the Black Keys.
And we also had, at the Microsoft store, we had the cast from The Hunger Games. Not for the opening, but they were here. So I think, you know, it's great that we're using bribery.
Beg your pardon?
And promotion to get these people into our stores.
It's another store that's like across from the Apple store. So, you know, East Coast, West Coast.
There it is.
Windows for Life.
You were mentioned earlier some chapter in Steve Jobs' book about the value of...
Yeah, he talks about the stores and why they did it. And, he makes a good case for that's a good way to connect with people.
And essentially saying that Apple wouldn't be where it was today...
Yeah,
if not for our stores. I think Microsoft would still be doing our.
Yeah, they, you know, theirs is a very different model from ours. We have a lot more OEMs and partners and stuff like that.
Right.
So they have a lot more stake in having a store like that. But it's one of those places where it's a great place to hang out. You know, they teach you stuff in the back. You can get
some knowledgeable salespeople too. I find not so much when I go into the Verizon store. Sorry, Verizon, I love you, but you know.
Okay.
Just saying. Sorry. All right, everybody, that wraps up this week's episode of Ping. Thank you, Larry.
Happy to be here.
Always a good time to have you on. We may have you on next week. I never really know when Paul's going to show up.
I'll block out my calendar just in case.
Just probably for the next year.
Okay, good.
And you at home or wherever you're watching, let us know what you think of the new set. We always appreciate your comments. And follow me on Twitter at Elfoy.
And Larry Law.
That was your cue?
Yeah.
Larry Law. And and we'll see you next week. And I'm going to get this on one take. 3, 2...